You guys don't mind if I stand down here, do you? As long as I don't get too close to that speaker. If I start wandering too far, Joe, let me know. You'll hear me quite well if I get too close to that speaker. I got to spread out a little bit. I got a little bit more of a spread now. But the message I have this morning, in your bulletin insert, you'll see a blank page. I think it's good if you guys take notes and write down the scriptures. It just gives you, you can jot them down and write what you find good from the message in there. The main scripture today is basically one verse, one phrase that I want you to be thinking about as I share this morning. This is something God put on my heart several months ago as I was studying one day. And it's Psalms 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay? "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to just think about that phrase and what that means as I share this morning. The Lord gave me some insights, I think, for myself. Hopefully they will be good insights for you guys as well. I'm going to read the entire Psalm 23 for context, and then we'll get going. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that a great psalm? The whole thing is really good. And we could just read that a few times and we'd all be good. But again, I want you to focus on just that first verse. "The Lord is my shepherd." Have you ever asked yourself really who the Lord is and what role he plays in your life? Because I think sometimes we as Christians kind of take that for granted, as silly as that sounds. But who is the Lord? And why is the Lord my shepherd? What does that really mean to me? So as we talk today, I want you to just be thinking of that. Why do I need to come under the control of the shepherd? Okay? I'm going to share some thoughts based on scripture, of course, but I want you to be thinking about, as I compare and contrast, the Lord uses the example of shepherd and sheep several times in scripture. Of course, back in that day when the word was written, that was a very common calling. There were shepherds, there were flocks. It was something that everybody could relate to. In our generation, of course, we are the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd. So we need to now translate that back. But there's a lot of similarities between sheep and people that I'm going to outline. I'm going to warn you right up front, don't be offended by anything I say, because they're just comparisons that I noticed. So as we go through this, I want you to just be thinking of what a shepherd does. Okay? By definition, a shepherd who tends and herds and guards his sheep, right? If you think of a shepherd out in the field, he's tending and watching over and guarding them sheep. In human form, it's a person who watches over another person or a group of people. Okay? So very similar if you look and that's just Webster's dictionary. That's nothing special. So a shepherd has many duties. He feeds, he waters, he grooms, he delivers lambs, he leads his sheep to green pasture and water, he finds wandering sheep, he protects the sheep. Okay, so shepherd that's a full-time job. He has a lot to do. So when I look at Psalms 23 and I see the Lord is my shepherd, I want you to remember that's a full-time job, watching over the sheep, whether it's sheep in a field or us. So as we go through, I hope you'll see those examples as positive. In Acts 20, verse 27, 28, It says, keep watch over your flocks, over yourselves, and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and not spare the flock. And then again later in John chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, he's talking to Peter on the, I think it's on the beach, and he asked Peter three times. You remember that story? Do you love me? Watch my sheep. Do you love me? Guard my sheep. So there's several instances in Scripture where we're reminded that not only is the Lord our shepherd, but we are also called to shepherd the flock, to watch over other Christians, to help in that. It's not just the Lord's responsibility. We also have that responsibility. Because he tells us that savage wolves will come. In other words, life is full of trials. There are going to be trials. There are going to be attacks. There are going to be a lot of things going on. And it's our duty to help watch over the flock as well. If we go back to Old Testament times, if you think of King David, what was David before he was the king? He was a shepherd, right? What did Scripture tell us? Was David a good shepherd? Yeah, he watched over his flock. He was willing to lay down his life for his flock, right? He knew he had to keep them safe. He had to get them green pasture, watch over them. I think that was in preparation for one day being king, where he would have to shepherd the flock of Israel. So it's very... The term shepherd and watching over the flock is used throughout Scripture. But other than watching over the flock, what else did a shepherd need to be? Shepherd, I think, need to be kind, intelligent, brave. Shepherd had to be willing to pay the price. He had to be devoted. But he also had to be in control of the flock. You can't just, I don't know anything about sheep or any of that stuff. I'm a city boy. But I imagine that an unruly flock can be quite hard to take care of. So the shepherd had to keep control over the flock. And by keeping control, that helped him to keep the flock out of danger. Okay? An out-of-control flock is a danger to itself from both inside and from threats from outside. So why do I need to come under control of the Good Shepherd? Very simple. If I'm not under the control of the Good Shepherd, it's harder for him to watch out for me, to protect me and do all those things. Okay? Our very human nature, I think, makes that difficult for some of us. Even as Christians, it's hard for us to surrender that control to the Good Shepherd, isn't it? We always think we can handle things. We have it under control. We're independent, we're prideful. Sometimes we're just plain too busy. We do things and then we think after the fact, oh, I should have maybe prayed about that or thought that one through and let God guide me a little bit on that. So sometimes we just let the busyness of life take control versus us giving that control to God. And then some people just might be too prideful and they don't want to surrender control to God. They think they can handle it all themselves, and pride gets in the way. But my question to you is, who better to watch over me than God? The creator of all things, right? Who else would I want to control and watch over me and provide for me, right? I sometimes think I do a pretty good job of that, but most of the time I realize that I'm really not that good at taking care of myself. I need somebody else. So if I'm going to turn control of my life over to somebody, doesn't it make sense that I give it over to the Creator? Right? God still watches over all things, including you and me. Like David, we should gladly state, the Lord is my shepherd. I think it's vital that we get this point. So let's talk about God a little bit. God the Father, the author of all creation. Everything you see when you step out those doors, look up into the sky, if you're on a ship in the ocean, whatever you see, the Grand Canyon, the turkey path, God created all of that, right? God the Son, our Savior. had a hand in all of that. And he also came to the earth to die for our sins. God the Holy Spirit, our guide, guides us in life. Jesus, when he left the earth, said that I will send someone better. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Still, to this day, we have that trio working for us, God three in one. God wanted, and still does, wants that special relationship with us. That blows my mind, that God wants to know me, right? The question is, and this is food for thought for 2 weeks from now, is do we want to know God as much as he wants to know us? File that one away for 2 weeks. Because I don't think we always do. I think we want the good that God gives us, but we don't always want to do in return. We are cherished objects of God. Just as each sheep is valuable to the shepherd, we are valuable to God. It is Father's Day, so I have to mention fathers while we're here. Fathers, how special is that bond with your children? I mean, there's a few fathers in here. It's a pretty special bond, right? Or a parent or a mom, bond with your daughter, Donna. All right? Those bonds are strong and they're special. As parents, I've never had to, and I hope I never have to, but I believe I would lay down my life for one of my children. So how much more than special is that relationship between God and us, right? So no matter how strong our bond is on this earth with those around us, God loves us even more than that, right? Okay? So David, the shepherd, knew that the health and well-being of his flock depended entirely on him. What's the sheep's role in all this? As a shepherd, the sheep's role is to follow the shepherd's commands, kind of like as parents, our children's role hopefully is to follow and learn from us. The sheep have to come under control of the shepherd. So we belong to God. Does everybody believe that we belong to God? A lot of people have trouble with belonging or that phrase of surrender and giving themselves to something. But if we're going to, isn't it make sense that we give it to the God of creation? He created us. So technically we belong to him. He created us. So it's to me, it's a no-brainer. But sometimes we get caught up in life and we lose track. But in John chapter 10... Jesus is talking, and I think this is a good point to throw in here. He says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Next verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Again he says, I am the shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Again, God knows us, his sheep. We need to know him, right? The Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep there that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Simple. We need to surrender ourselves to God's control because he is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. He has that desire to have that relationship with us. Our part is to have that relationship back and to come under his control. Okay? Just as fathers, mothers, parents, elders, leaders in a church, we all have to shepherd the flock. But we all ultimately first have to come under God's control. We have to be under the master's control, the good shepherd's control. As I was studying, again, I told you earlier I was going to compare sheep and the shepherd to humans. This is the part where if any of this sounds like any of you, I was not thinking of anybody in particular when I wrote these things down. Did you know that sheep were stubborn? I didn't know that about sheep. Sheep are stubborn. They don't like to do what the shepherd tells them. That's why he has the rod and the staff. He can give them a little whack, get their attention. But sheep are stubborn. None of us are stubborn, right? Can't be any of us. Sheep are timid and easily frightened. You get a sheep out in the field, you get a crack of thunder, boy, they're like scattered running. None of us get frightened or any of that, right? But sheep are a little timid and a little easily frightened. I'm not going to go into it, but you know, sheep have a lot of bad habits. I can't imagine what bad habits a sheep could have, possibly. All they do is stand around in the field, but they have bad habits. Sheep have what they described as mob instincts. I guess if one sheep does something, the other sheep are stupid and they just kind of do it too. So if one sheep gets scared and runs, all the rest of them will run with him. Or if one sheep drinks out of the mud puddle instead of the stream, the other ones will drink out of the mud puddle. They kind of run in packs. I know none of us do what the other guy does. None of us would jump off a bridge if our friend jumped off, right? None of that. And I mentioned it a little bit. Sheep are not very smart, I guess. I know that doesn't apply to anybody in this room because we're all very intelligent people, right? And if I say I have a bridge and that I'm going to jump off, everybody's going to say, okay, see you later. They're not going to follow me, right? But sheep, children, you, me, whatever, sometimes we have some behaviors, some things that are not that great. Hopefully I want to give you a little mental picture here to help you along. Tell me which of these scenarios you would prefer, okay? As a parent, and I'm sure God thinks the same thing of us sometimes. Picture yourself walking through Walmart. Anybody have small children? Michelle, you'll get to this in a couple of years. Picture you're walking through Walmart. You have your child by your hand. You're walking down the aisle. What's that child do? Oh, look over there. And they're pulling at your arm because they want that toy over there. You're trying to go this way. They're pulling, they're tugging, they're crying now because you won't let them. Give me that. Can I have that? And you're, as a parent, you're thinking, just restrain me, Lord, because I'm going to beat this child. But you're trying to get that child to go where you want them, right? You're guiding them. You're trying to instruct them, and they're just doing everything they can to go their own way. That's sometimes how I think I behave with God. Sometimes I hear God talking, and I think I know better, and I'm going to go down this way. And I'm pulling and tugging at God because I don't want to go that way. But just like the child and the parent, me and God, God's guiding me and directing me in the path that's best for me a lot of times. So get that picture. So we've all had that screaming child on the end of our arm, right? Donna must have had it more than once because she's smiling like, yeah, I know that. I used to solve that problem, Donna. If my children acted that way, I'd go lock them in the car and then I'd go back in the store. Did I say that? No. But we did used to make our kids go sit in the car. But anyway, now, a better picture. Now I'm walking through Walmart. I still have my child, and we're walking along, and my child says, Daddy, can I look at that? And I say, no, honey, we're going this way. And they say, okay. And we keep walking. And we go down another aisle, and they say, can I have a candy? And I say, no, honey, we don't need candy. And they say, okay, Daddy. And they just follow calmly along. Has anybody ever experienced that one? Because I'd love that. I've never had that. Can I borrow one of your child that actually does what they're told and I'll just borrow them for a while? But isn't that a better picture of how we should react when God guides us? We should say, okay, Daddy, I'll go that way. But oftentimes we're the other side. We're going the other way. I mentioned the rod and the staff earlier. I'm going to mention them briefly. They're talked about in verse 4 of Psalms 23. And it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To the shepherd, remember, the rod and the staff were tools. A rod basically was a club. They had a club, and they used that club to protect the sheep from the wolves, from the things that would attack the flock. The staff was the, you know, we all see the staff, the big curve thing. But I guess the staff was used more for guidance. The shepherd would, you know, the hook was to hook around the sheep to hold them while they were shearing them or cleaning parasites off them or whatever. And they, or they would flick dirt on them to get their attention or give them a little tap. So the staff was more of a guidance tool. So I think today we sometimes need God to have a rod and a staff, don't we, to get our attention. He has other methods today, of course, but I think sometimes those tools would be useful. But today we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have the Scripture to guide us. We have parents. We have leaders in the church. We have pastors. So we have a lot of tools at our disposal to help guide us today. And I think we sometimes need those to keep us on track. But I think the important thing, and really the whole thing that God wanted me to get across today, is that He is the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd should be foremost in my head every day, because without that thought in my head, I can easily go astray. I can easily wander away from the flock and get into trouble. The Lord can't protect me as well if I'm wandering off on my own. He's got to watch the main flock. So I think it's important that we try and continually remind ourselves of that as we go through our day. A few more thoughts and then we'll wrap up. Short message today because this is what God told me to say, and I don't like to ad lib when God tells me something. But I want you to get a picture of what the flock should look like under the Good Shepherd's care. And you can picture, you know, a green meadow with a nice running stream, whatever you want. But the sheep under the care of the Good Shepherd are probably strong, vibrant, healthy, green pastures, good water. When they lie down to rest, they probably feel safe, secure, right? And that's what the Psalms 23 says. Make me lie down in green pastures, right? Now, the flock that's under the care of the bad shepherd, or the hired hand, as the other scripture said in John, it talks about the hired hand. Picture those sheep, kind of scraggly looking, kind of wandering around the field. Probably the pasture's kind of brown and overgrown, weedy. There's probably not a good, clean running stream. They're probably kind of looking at these stagnant puddles, and they probably don't feel real safe because the shepherd's not really paying much attention to them. He's kind of just there. What happens when the storm comes? They probably scatter. They don't feel like they're protected. They're probably the ones that are standing at the fence looking over to the green pasture side, wishing they were over there. But sometimes those sheep that are under the care of that not-so-good shepherd, I don't think, know that there's something better. I think sometimes this is my lot, and this is what there is. And I think sometimes we get into that mentality that this is where God has me, and this is my lot. And I think we need to remind ourselves that the Lord promises us a lot of things. He promises to watch over and protect us. But we need to do our part. And He would love to have us in that green pasture, right? So if you're in that not-so-good situation, you don't have to stay there. The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. He promises us that in Scripture. So you don't have to stay there. You don't have to continually be the unruly child. You can always come closer to God and come under the care of the Good Shepherd. Now, if you're in the Good Shepherd side and you're in that nice green pasture and you're lying down and you're content and happy, great. Caution, that does not mean that bad stuff won't happen. But it does mean that God's got you covered. Storms will still come. Savage wolves will still attack. But you're in the protection of God. You're in this good place. you're going to be much better off over here than you are over here, right? So you may still have some trials, you may still have some struggles, but God's got you covered. The Good Shepherd. Just a few comments about the Good Shepherd, and then I'm going to close. But think of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Born in disgusting surroundings. Born in a manger. Picture that. God loved us so much that he sent his son. Born in a manger. Raised in modest surroundings. He was a carpenter's son, no special privileges. But in spite of this, no other person in history has had such an impact on the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I should proclaim that proudly and shout it from the rooftops. And I should surrender all to him willingly. Not begrudgingly, willingly I should surrender all to him. He gave everything for me. I should give everything back. There's something special about belonging to the Good Shepherd. Do you feel special in Christ? Do you feel set apart or distinguished? Do you proudly proclaim that you're a follower of Christ? As I close, Joe, you can start playing that altar call song, or Mandy, slow, just softly if you can, get that going. Tragic truth is, many who know Christ never truly surrender totally to him, and they always are in that just okay place. Many say they believe, hoping to get the benefits without truly surrendering. You know people like that? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but nothing in their walk shows that. Many accept Christ and change enough to put on the show, but deep down they've never truly surrendered. I don't know where any of you are in that, but I want you to be encouraged. Wherever you are, think of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. That shepherd had 100 sheep. He lost one. What did he do? He went to find it. God, no matter where you are, will always look for you. He always wants to find the lost sheep. So wherever you are in the mix, if you're over in that darker spot, the bad pasture, the sheep that don't feel like you've got the shepherd watching over you, God wants you to be better than that. If you're in the good place, great. But never take it for granted. Always strive to come closer to the Father. Always remind yourself that he is the good shepherd. We need to recognize his authority, acknowledge his role in my life, and proudly proclaim that we belong to him. So if you have a prayer need today and you need prayer for whatever reason, if you need physical prayer or anything going on, if you need to just talk to God, feel free to do that. If you don't want to get out of your seats and come front, grab me or Joe or somebody later. We can pray with you. But wherever you are, I just pray that this message helps you to kind of think about your relationship with God a little bit and how all of us can do better with that by acknowledging that he is my shepherd. And if I turn control of my life over to him, I shall not be in want. And all of that rest of Psalms 23 applies to me. So we're going to have this, the altar call here. If you have a need, come forward. And we'll dismiss after that.